Seems like it's maybe been a little while. I hated to be gone last week because I know that there's so many people here that are my friends, that are my family, people that I know. But I know a lot of you here tonight too. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is knowledge. What we know, what we can have in our brain, knowledge. Now, I thought about, when I was told what the topic was, I thought about doing a word study, because there are quite a number of different Greek words, quite a number, that are translated knowledge. But the thing is about doing a word study like that, is you look at all these words, and you look at this word that's translated knowledge, and then when you get to the end of the study, you find out that the word that's translated knowledge, what it really means, is knowledge. And so, in a lot of ways, you just have to go and look at the context, look at how it's used. And so I thought, well, maybe I can do a study of how knowledge and knowing is used in the Bible. And then I realized that's way too much. They asked me to do one lesson, not a series. So I thought, maybe we can just look at the New Testament and just look at all the ways, the different ways that knowing and knowledge is used there. And that was still way too much. You know, we could look about how Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, how we can know that, where he raises the paralytic. He says, I'm doing this so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. We could talk about how we can know that sin keeps one out of the kingdom of God. We can know from 1 Thessalonians. We can know that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. We can know from 1 Peter 1 that we're redeemed with the blood of Christ. We can know from Romans 6. We can know that we're baptized into his death and that our old self is crucified. But we can look at all that. We can look at all these things we should know about Jesus, all these things we should know about his work. But just simply having that knowledge, it doesn't matter a bit. It doesn't matter at all if we don't do something with it, if we don't apply it, if we don't use it. Used to, back when Jeopardy was on at lunchtime, I liked watching Jeopardy. Sometimes I would know the answers, sometimes I wouldn't. But guess what? All those times I did know the answers, not a single time did I win any money about that. Thankfully, not a single time when I didn't know the answers, I lost money. There's some people who, they go to these, I guess you'd call it a memorization fair, something like that. They can memorize packs of cards, memorize digits of pi, and they see who can memorize the most. The people who have hundreds of digits of pi memorized. But guess what? Just knowing that, it really doesn't affect anyone's life. It doesn't affect the choices they make. It doesn't affect how they live their life. And so as I was trying to decide exactly how to approach this, because this is a big topic, and I was trying to decide how to approach it, I realized that it really all boils down to what Paul writes to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, we turn me to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 4. Paul here, he's telling them about how he is a Hebrew of Hebrews, how he has these qualifications. Philippians 3, we'll begin with verse 4. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Here Paul writes to these people, to these Christians, and he says, when I was a Jew, I was at the top of the food chain. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Jew of Jews. He had some sort of, you might call it a political power. Socially, he was powerful. He knew the right people. You know, he spent time hobnobbed with the right people. He had all these advantages. He says, if anyone else has a right to put confidence in the things they are and who they are, I have more confidence. And he lists these things out. And then in verse 8, he says, I count everything as lost. All those things that he had, I count them all, everything, as lost because of the surpassing worth, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. So that's what we're going to study tonight for just a few minutes. And we're going to ask two questions about it. We're going to look at, what does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it not mean? And then we're going to answer the inverse of that. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? You might want to go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. What does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? What it doesn't mean is it's not just knowing who he is. It's not just knowing that he exists, not knowing that there's a teacher named Jesus Christ. Because even the demons knew that. Mark chapter 1, in verse 24, this demon is speaking. Jesus is going casting out these demons. And in Mark 1, verse 24, this demon says this to Christ. He says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demon even says, I know who you are. And then in verse 34, drop down with me there. In verse 34 of the same chapter, Jesus is still healing, still casting out demons. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Even the demons, these demons from Satan, they knew who he was. They knew who he was. And I'm afraid that's how many people in this world today are. Many people in the world, they believe in Jesus. They believe that a man named Jesus existed. They believe he existed. Some of them may even believe that he did all the things that the scripture records for us. But they never do anything about it. It doesn't affect how they live their lives. It doesn't affect the choices they make. It doesn't affect who they are. It doesn't affect the way they live their lives. Just simply knowing who Jesus is not knowing Jesus Christ. What else it's not? It's not just knowing what God's laws are. It's not just having a familiarity with the scripture. Turn me over to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, and this is what Paul writes. Romans 1, verse 32. Romans 1, 32, and he's listing there, he's just listed out all these evil deeds, all these sins, all these things that people do. He's listed all those out. And then he says, they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Some versions will translate as they know God's righteous ordinance. I think some may even put it as they know God's law. These sinners, they know what God's law is, but they ignore it and they do what they want to. They know what God has written down. They know what God wants, but they don't do anything about it. It doesn't affect their life. We probably all have friends. We have family like this who, if you're talking about a book of the Bible and you taught, and you say some verse, they know exactly what that is. They know exactly what that says. They may even have it better memorized than you do. We all probably have people we know like that. But we also know that, that they don't do anything about it. They know the things it says. But it doesn't affect their life. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Because what else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? What else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not being like the rich young ruler. And at first we might think, well, the rich young ruler, he knew these laws and he followed them, right? But let's start in about verse 17 of Mark 10. Mark 10, we'll start in verse 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, that is Christ, as he was setting out a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments." He says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. So what does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not being like the rich young ruler. That man, he knew God's law. He knew what God wanted. And then Jesus said, "You know the commandments. You know those commandments." He listed them off, and the man said, "I followed those since I was a kid. I know those. I followed them." But then when it came down to it, when Jesus asked him to sacrifice something, when this man was required to give up something to really follow Jesus, he wasn't willing to give it up. He wasn't willing to give it up. And we can be the same way. We can be the exact same way. We go to services, we don't curse, we don't use bad language, we don't go to bars, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do the other. And we think, okay, that's all it takes. But when something that is in and of itself okay, when something that is in and of itself maybe even good, whether it's a vacation, whether it's ball games, ball practice, whether it's something with school, when that gets in the way of serving the Lord, we have to make a choice. We can't just say, "Well, I don't curse, I don't go to bars, so that means I'm okay." Because sometimes we have to make choices between good things and between great things. Sometimes we have to make choices between things that are okay and the thing that means following Jesus. Knowing Christ Jesus, doesn't mean just being like the rich young ruler. What else does it not mean? Knowing Jesus is not just zeal, it's not just sincerity. There are a lot of people in the world like that. A lot of people we see, they're zealous, they're sincere. And we think, wow, that's admirable. But that's not what it means to know Jesus Christ. Turn with me back to Romans. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 2. Romans 10, starting with verse 2. Paul writes to these Christians, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. Think about Paul. Going back to Paul again. Paul, he was persecuting the church because he was zealous for what he thought God wanted. He was zealous because he was a good Jew, and so he was going to stamp out these Christians. Paul was just completely burning up with zeal. But his zeal wasn't in accordance with knowledge. There are so many people in the world that we see, that we know, they're extremely sincere. They're extremely zealous religiously. They might be Baptists, they might be Methodists, they might be Presbyterians, they might be who knows what. They might be Mormons, they might be Jehovah's Witnesses. They're sincere, they really believe what they tell us they believe. They're zealous for it. Maybe even they're more zealous than we are. We might should take a lesson from that. Maybe they're our friends, maybe they're our family. But if their zeal isn't for what God wants, if their zeal isn't in accordance with knowledge, it's not doing them any good. Because if you have a zeal that's a sincerity, that's not in accordance with what God wants, that's not in accordance with the knowledge of God's will, that doesn't mean you know Jesus Christ. So what does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It doesn't just mean knowing who he is. It doesn't just mean knowing what God's law is. It doesn't mean being like the rich young ruler and just following the basic laws but not being willing to sacrifice. It doesn't mean just being sincere. So what does it mean? What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? We're going to spend a lot of time now in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. What it means to know Jesus Christ is when we know Jesus, we know the Father. When we know him, we know God the Father. John chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. John 8, verses 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. If you knew me, you would know my Father. And then if we go to John 17, go over to John 17, we learn more about what it means to know the Father. For us to know the Father is to have eternal life. John 17, verse 3. This is Jesus' prayer. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. What it means to know Jesus Christ is to know the Father. And what it means to know the Father is to have eternal life. What it means to know Jesus Christ is to be like the sheep that he talks about in John 10. If you've ever raised sheep, you know that they're kind of dumb. They're kind of dumb, they're kind of stupid. But the one thing they have going for them is they trust their shepherd. In John 10, there's a lot that Jesus talks about sheep and about shepherds and about sheepfolds. He talks about sheep doors. He talks about a thief who comes in who tries to steal the sheep. But he says, the sheep won't follow him because they don't know his voice. The sheep won't follow the thief because they don't recognize him. They don't know his voice. John 10, I'd like to start with verse 3. John chapter 10, I'd like to start in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, that is, the shepherd. The doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now if we jump down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And if we jump all the way down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Again here, Jesus talks about how he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They trust him. They recognize him. They look to him for their care, for their protection. They act the opposite way that they do with the thief. That's what it means to know Jesus Christ, is to follow him, to recognize who he is, that he's the one who protects, that he's the one who cares for you, he's the one who keeps you safe, to recognize him and to follow him. That's part of what knowing Jesus Christ means. What else does it mean? Not knowing is grouped with not obeying. Go with me now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Not knowing God is grouped with not obeying the gospel. And the inverse of knowing God is grouped with obeying the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start at the end of verse 7. The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. When Paul writes to these Christians, he puts these things right together. Those who don't know God, those who don't obey the gospel. I think that should tell us something. That when we know something, we should obey it. That truly knowing something, truly knowing God, it means obeying God. Truly knowing Jesus means obeying Jesus. We see something somewhat similar in 2 Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We see knowing, we see it connected with belief, and with conviction or persuasion. Knowing Jesus Christ is connected with belief and conviction. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Or if you're singing this song, I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. For Paul knew that what it means to know Jesus is to believe in him and to be convinced that he can do what he said he'll do. Knowing Jesus Christ is connected with belief, is connected with conviction. Knowing Jesus Christ is also connected with doing. Similar thing again, knowing and doing are connected. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 is what I'd like to read. Titus chapter 1, beginning of verse 16. Paul writes here, they profess to know God. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. You ever heard the phrase, do as I say and not as I do? Sometimes parents tell that to their children. Here, people were saying one thing and doing something else. They were saying that they knew God, they professed to know God, but when it came to what they were doing, they were denying him. They were saying one thing, and they were doing another. Or consider 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This tells us a lot. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. John's first letter, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. John writes, if we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments, that's how we know that we know Jesus, is if we do what he says, if we keep his commandments, knowing and doing. They're put together like that, and you can't take them apart. To truly know who Jesus Christ is, to truly know Jesus, it means to obey his commandments, to keep his commandments. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? We have an example. We should know Jesus the way that Jesus knows the Father, by obeying him and by loving him. By obeying him and loving him. John constantly shows us in his gospel that that's how Jesus knew the Father, and that's how we can know Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'd like to start reading verse 20. John 14, starting with verse 20. In that day, he's speaking to his disciples. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then dropping down to verse 31, I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? It means to doing as God has commanded. That's what it means. Knowing him, knowing Jesus Christ, means that the things we know, all those things that we didn't talk about tonight, the things we know, they have to impact our life. They have to impact how we live. They have to impact the choices we make each day from when we get out of bed to when we go to sleep. It has to matter in how we live our life, about the words we say, the kind of language we use, the kind of places we go, the kind of friendships we have, the kind of movies and television shows we watch, the kind of music we listen to. Knowing Jesus Christ has to impact and has to change, has to influence how we live our life. Knowledge is essential. Knowledge is essential, knowing all those things. We have to do that. We have to know that. We have to study God's word and learn what God's law is. But knowledge about Christ is alone not enough. We must know Christ. And so there's a question tonight. Do you know Christ? It's a question that no one else can ask for you. We have to ask ourselves, do I know Christ? But there's maybe even a more, it's a very similar question, but in a sense it's even more important. We have to ask ourselves, do I know Christ? But consider what Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4. I'd like to start reading in verse 8. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? There were Christians here who had come to know Christ, who had come to know God, but then they kept trying to turn back to the world. And the way Paul puts it here is, you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. To be known by God. And the last verse I want to leave us with is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to start reading in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is, of course, Christ's most famous sermon. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. He says there, workers of lawlessness. He'll say, I never knew you. These were people who thought that they had done all those things, that they had prophesied in his name, that they had cast out demons in his name, that they had done many mighty works in his name. But they hadn't really known Jesus. Or rather, Jesus hadn't really known them. I never knew you. So we ask first, do you know Jesus Christ? But kind of the opposite question, nearly more important in a sense, maybe the opposite side of the coin, if you will, is does Jesus Christ know you? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves right now and every day, is do I know Jesus Christ? And does Jesus Christ know me? There might be someone here tonight who's not a Christian. There might be someone here tonight who does not know Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ does not know. But if we can help you be a Christian, if we can help you to know Jesus, if we can help you to obey him, to keep his commandments, if we can help you to be baptized and have your sins washed away, we'd love to do that. We would love to help you. If there's someone here who is a Christian and you need prayers for strength to keep obeying the commandments, to keep obeying his laws, so you can know Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you. If there's anything that we can do for anyone tonight to help you know Jesus Christ, won't you please come while we stand and sing?